Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, January 29th, 2025 on Connecticut Today, where I started the show begging state officials to please back off on some of the irresponsible rhetoric about ICE agents and the Trump White House crackdown. Hearst Connecticut Media columnist and senior editor Dan Haar discuss possible Republican gubernatorial candidates and the reported presence of some ICE agents in the state. And CBS News digital reporter Aaron Navarro joined us again to talk about and update the continuing Trump White House executive orders.
You know, the more I look at certain numbers and the more that I read what people have said or watch what they're saying, I'm convinced half the country is nuts. And you know the half I'm talking about. I'm thoroughly and more convinced every day that America lives in two alternate realities. And we're seeing this played out now in this massive outright hysteria over ICE, which is being fomented by state officials from the governor on down. And they should be ashamed of themselves. They're scaring the hell out of kids and teachers when they don't have to. My God, every morning now, oh, schools are being briefed about ICE agents, and oh, schools across the country and schools in Connecticut. I mean, they're acting like the good men and women that work for Immigration and Customs Enforcement are some sort of Nazi stormtroopers. What in hell is wrong with you people? We're letting ourselves, well, I'm not, and most of the people listening to this show, I know you're not, but good God, we are in the part of the country that's letting itself get consumed by this hysteria that, you know what, is your own damn fault. Because for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, we've had a problem that nobody wants to fix. And instead of, for example, in Connecticut saying, hey, you know, we're at a housing crunch here, we're at an educational crunch, are we looking at that at all? No! We're warning kids in schools and churches that the bad men and the bad women are coming. Well, if they're coming, it's your fault. From the governor on down, hey, we're a welcoming state. Come on in. Hey, and by the way, we're about to dump another $250 million into Husky Medicaid. You don't think people talk? Hey, come to Connecticut. I get my health care free. You can't have it both ways. If you're so concerned about the ICE stormtroopers, and yes, I actually saw somebody dumb enough on social media last night, well, of course, that's an oxymoron. Any intelligence on social media, I know. But now the meme is, because we just passed Holocaust Remembrance Day, hey, on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, let's not forget that we're seeing a replay of Nazi Germany and the stormtroopers. Are you out of your mind? Seriously, do you eat paint chips? My God, where does this disconnect come from? Honestly, that's my opening question here. I don't get it. How is it, and I'm asking you an honest question here, because I don't know what it is. Is it in the air? Is it in the water? Is there some sort of chemtrails here? I don't understand. How can half the country, or slightly more than half the country, if you look at the numbers, and we have new numbers, we'll talk about them right here, how can half the country largely at least be on board with deporting criminal illegals and a surprising amount of people, according to a new Quinnipiac poll I have here, don't even agree with deporting illegals? What is wrong with you people if the illegals are criminals? What in the hell is wrong with you? And instead of voicing that and trying to work something out, you know what you do? You project your idiocy on kids. My God, you open up any national publication now, or the Hearst papers here, or the Hartford Courant, or any of the major papers in the state, save for a few who still have sense, Kids are, churches are being warned. Schools are being warned. Warned about what? Government agents who were carrying out their jobs? Where did we pick up this level of lunacy from? How have we gotten so rock stupid here? And all these state officials, from the governor to the attorney general and the education department commissioner, they should be ashamed of themselves for the tone that they're setting out there. Aren't our leaders supposed to be leaders of everyone, even from the opposite party and for those who didn't vote for them? But my God, the utter and ridiculous, nonsensical hysteria on this is just about driving me off the cliff here. Well, Paul, what if they come and take migrant kids away? Okay, what if they do that? Whose fault is that? Why didn't you or anybody else of your ilk solve the problem? Again, let me use my similarity here because people seem to like it. You can only replace the wallboard, the sheetrock, the moldy carpet, the liner underneath, the wood underneath that so many times before you realize, hey, I've got to fix the leak in the pipe, don't I? Or I've got to fix the leak on the windowsill, don't I? Why am I wasting all this money? Why am I wasting all this effort when the answer to the thing is right in front of me? Folks, I don't get this. Can you help me square this out, honestly? When did we lose all of our common sense on this? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. How can the state of Connecticut, which ostensibly has some pretty smart people in it, be so darn out of touch with the rest of the country? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Did too many people in this state fall out of a high chair and hit their head? It is just mind-boggling that we have state, quote-unquote, leaders shouting from the mountaintops like it's some sort of group of Nazi stormtroopers coming in. What in the heck is wrong with you? The thoughts are getting more recognizable in my head since I adjust the meds, though. But here, I don't get this. Help me out here. 203-333-9422. So you have ICE agents apparently showing up in some cities or towns because they're looking for bad guys and bad women. By the way, amid all this hysteria, there are no reports of kids getting pulled out of schools yet. Now, would that happen? I don't know. But it's the same thing with these people who, you know, when we get to the voting issue, well, I'm disenfranchised. Well, were you prevented from voting? You never see those news conferences, right? Every time we have ballot security issues in this state, the usual suspects, oh, I'm getting disenfranchised. And I'm like, well, all right, where's the news conference on the 6 o'clock news or in the Hearst papers or whatever? Where's the news conference that you weren't allowed to vote? Oh, that didn't happen, did it? Oh, okay. I mean, my God, honestly, I have people in this state that I know and care for now likening ICE agents who are not nuts. They're government agents, men and women who have a very difficult job, being likened to Nazi stormtroopers. What in the hell is wrong with us? Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Paul, there are kids involved. Okay, there are kids involved. And why are the kids involved? Because the same party that's bitching and crying and moaning about this for years wouldn't even want the border secured. Oh, can't have a wall there, can't double up on the barbed wire. You can't have it both ways. You can't allow that hole in your wall and then complain the carpet is moldy. Why am I a dummy that I am? Why am I able to understand this? And people who ostensibly are on higher pay grades than me, they can't understand it, or do they not want to understand it? Are there our own lawmakers in Hartford from the governor on down who are probably sitting there at night going, holy crap, now what do we do? Hey, but let's offer them $250 million to come here again. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Now, about half the country is upset with this, and the other half is like, I need my bushes trimmed. I don't want my guacamole to get more expensive. I like cheap lettuce. Al's in Ansonia. He kicks us off today. Al, good afternoon. How are you?
What's up, Paul? How are you?
I'm good, Al. What do you got?
So I just want to say a couple of things. There's a lot to break down here. First, I want to say is I've been on the side where in the beginning when I was starting a family, I was a recipient of, you know, Medicaid and food stamps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The problem is, and when I tell everybody else who feels that, you know, we shouldn't be paying for all of these benefits, and I think $250 million is astronomical. Nobody wants, I mean, at least for me, like, in my opinion, wouldn't you want to not have to live off of these programs?
I agree with that, but we continue to have this problem, and nobody wants to get together and fix it, Al. It drives me nuts.
The big problem is because the system encourages career state benefit recipients. Mm-hmm. Like there's no way to ease people or citizens of our state off of these programs to help them find better paying jobs, to have a livable wage, to have them have career knowledge so that they can get into better trades and whatnot. You're incentivized to stay on these welfare benefits, mm-hmm. and all it does is it causes people like you and myself to pay continuously for more expensive benefits for people who don't put anything back into our economy. That's the problem.
Yeah, and Al, I do have to move along. Thank you, Al. Appreciate it, and congrats on your success here. Listen, you bettered yourself. And look, we're a compassionate society. We want to help people. I get that. But you either want to normalize it or not. And as Al just said, you have these social programs, which is fine. Nobody wants anybody to go hungry. Nobody wants a kid to be sick. I get it. But in some way, shape, or form, that is generating the problem that you have right now. It's a vicious circle. It is a vortex. Let me give you another quick number here. There's a new Quinnipiac poll that came out at 2 o'clock today on this. There are two figures in this poll that, to me, are stunning. And it illustrates the problem here. We'll give you the Trump numbers. Throat seized up today. Okay, the immigration crosstab here. Now, a clear majority of voters, 60%, approve of sending U.S. troops to the southern border with Mexico to enforce border security. 36% disapprove. So you have more than one-third of the country who say, no, we shouldn't be using the military to improve border security. Now, why is that? Give me a cogent reason with a well-thought-out plan. Why wouldn't we want to have the military guarding the border? Unless you want illegals to come in the country, which is fine. Just admit that. 95% of Republicans want the military on the border. Even 57% of independents approve of that. 68% of Democrats disapprove. So if you are a Democrat and you find yourself, or yourselves, if you're listening in the plural, if you're a Democrat, roughly 7 in 10 Democrats say don't put the military on the border. 9.5 in 10 Republicans say to do it, and roughly 6 in 10 independents. Where's the disconnect? Republicans say militarize the border. Even independents, 6 in 10 say militarize the border. What? Now, this might explain our psychosis here in Connecticut. You know, 7 in 10 Democrats say don't. Give me, if you're a Democrat and you're a progressive, give me a cogent reason why. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And I don't want all touchy and feely, oh, they're coming here for a better life. Give me an operational, cogent reason why you would not want the military, at least partly on the southern border, to enforce border security. Midweek at this time, every Wednesday, right around 5:15 or so, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media editor, and a senior editor, I should say, and a columnist. Dan, good afternoon, sir, and how might you be today?
I'm doing fine. Remember, we did the caller last week. I don't know if the caller was satisfied with my response, though.
Well, you know, listen, you gave a response, and that was it. So I did get a couple of more calls and emails after your response, but we'll leave that for another day. You can imagine. Aaron Stewart, does she have a shot, Dan? I mean, what, from the money point of view, the financing, the demographic makeup of the state? Now, she says she has to raise the money maybe to get the citizens matching funds, but what do you think of that whole thing?
Well, yes, she does have a shot for two reasons, but there's some caveats.
Yeah.
Remember, our friend Mark Kasniokas reminded us in his story yesterday, which I had forgotten, frankly, that the Citizens Election Program grant for governors is up to $15 or $18 million.
Wow!
It's not the $8 million. This is not your father's governor's race anymore.
Cool. All right.
So, now, and also remember that most governor's races are in the teens.
Yeah.
The last one in which Governor Lamont spent $24 million of his own money out of $25.5 million. I believe those are the figures.
Mm-hmm.
$26 million. That was the anomaly. Right. Did he need to spend that to win by 13 points over a guy who had never held office before? No.
Yeah.
He did not. So it's reasonable to expect that that level of spending won't happen again. It's also reasonable to expect that if Governor Ned Lamont were to run again, that would take away the ability of Aaron Stewart to play the centrist card.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because she's very clearly a centrist, despite her fawning over Trump in the last week or so.
Mm.
That, as you well know, is only so that she might have a chance of winning. The real hurdle for her, which is the primary,
yes,
against the likes of whoever, whatever true hard right conservatives come out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. And thank you for correcting me on that, Dan, because I was talking about this earlier in the show and I had said, geez, folks, I think it's going up a little to like 9 or 10 million. But yeah, 17, 18 million or 15, whatever you said, makes sense. And I agree with you. The hurdle for her, Dan, is the hurdle it cost. And I'm still seething over the Themis Claridis thing, 2 years ago. Well, she's pro-choice. Well, blah, blah, blah. And they went with Leora Levy. No offense to her. I'm sure she's a nice person. She got her around me. Huh?
Feel free to offend her. I take no offense at your offense.
No. But we all know what happened, and you're right. It's some of the dopey Republican voters in the state. And let me say, I'm a registered Republican, and they're among my tribe. But yeah.
Well, that could happen again. Not only could it happen again in Pittsburgh, it could happen again with the very same person. I've heard rumblings that Leora Levy herself might want to run for governor, which is even more ridiculous than her running for senator, because at least her political presence in the years of her activity on the Republican National Committee was national,
yeah,
not state.
Yeah.
I've never seen her do anything at the state level. Now, I'm not saying that she's running, but I've heard people speculating. And then Bob Stefanowski, you know, he hasn't completely gone away. He ran credible campaigns. You've got Mark Loretti. He's probably going to run. He's had another successful couple of years as mayor of Shelton. He may not win, but he might be in the mix. And there are some mayors down the shore who have done a credible job. So there are people. It's not just going to be a one-person operation. Don't forget Themis Claridis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, the more the merrier. I'm for multiple candidate races. I love that. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, I began the show and took a lot of calls, and you may disagree with me here. I'm wondering about the messaging of these ICE raids. And I know we don't want to see ICE in churches and schools, I get that. But, Dan, is there a fine line between just saying, hey, we know what's going on, and sowing hysteria here, whether you agree with me or not? What do you think of the messaging here?
Well, first of all, we're not clear that these are ICE raids in response to the executive order.
Yeah.
They may just be business as usual, because remember, as one editor pointed out to me today when we were talking about this, there may have been very similar actions in years past that we didn't even notice, right? Now, all of a sudden, we're on hyper-aware alert. As soon as we see an ice – I mean, we're getting – in our newsroom, we're giving each other reports of sightings of ice vehicles.
Oh, my God.
Right? It's that – it's like we're – you know, in other words, we are – and there's no secret there. We're out there. We're looking at this.
Yeah.
Right? So it's – you know, we want to cover the news, and that's the news. So it is possible that what we've seen so far is, A, the least of what we're going to see, and, B, not really – a message per se, because look, there have always been there are people being deported in, in routine times, and this could be that. Are you aware of raids that, in the opinion of you and listeners and others,
really
goes above and beyond what even might be routine?
No, and none of my listeners, Dan, and they know they can call in and tell me, nobody has said anything about, hey, I've seen, you know, the flak jackets or the bulletproof vests, and no.
So far it's a war of rhetoric, and the rhetoric and executive orders. And, you know, listen, this order that takes away the shelter of churches, schools, and what's the other one? Churches, schools, parks, and
stuff.
That's not a little thing.
No.
Right?
No, I get it, and to me that would be a colossal PR blunder if they did that. But in the interest of time, let's just finish up with this. So I guess the White House now, Dan Haar, has backed off this order of putting a stop on some of this federal funding and everything, and I guess it sent a pretty good shock through Governor Lamont, down through all his department heads as well, and a lot of the nonprofits too.
Yeah, as of 2 p.m., they hadn't posted it on the White House news site, although the AP, the New York Times, the Washington Post were all reporting it. So let's say it's true. It represents a blunder by the White House. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. They tried to do something. They didn't get away with it. And they were put back for it. And what I said in a column, which is going to appear in print tomorrow, it's been online today. And my update to that column says that you can rescind an order, but you can't rescind the fear and chaos that you created knowingly. And that's really where this is. This is a black eye for this president and the White House, but politically, no one can afford a black eye more than Donald Trump. So this is not nobody's dancing a celebration here, that other than that this one order was put down, and nobody is thinking, well, that's the end that we'll see of him.
No. Dan Haar, Hearst, Connecticut media. Dan, be good. Have a happy weekend, and we'll chat with you next week. Thank you, sir.
Bright and early.
That's right. Dan Haar, bright and early, Hearst, Connecticut media. And imagine if you were in the press corps covering the Trump White House now. Now, I've done some reporting in my pre-talk show days, covered nothing like this. I covered a lot of politicos and mayors and dignitaries and cities, but man, I can imagine how fruitfully exciting this is. And we've talked to this gentleman about this a lot. CBS News digital reporter Aaron Navarro joins us to talk about those Trump White House executive orders and more. Aaron, it's Paul here again, sir. How are you?
Good, Paul. I think you could do this. I think you could still do this.
Yeah, at my age, those schlepping on the planes and everything. See, this is good, Aaron, because I just get paid to bloviate for 4 hours, and it's great. But, man, it must be thrill a minute for you folks covering this whole thing. What's it been like the past few days?
Certainly a breakneck speed. You heard President Trump in remarks at the White House today promote that aspect of it all, that they're kind of throwing everything at the wall. Said this is kind of what he promised the American people when he won, that he'd be, you know, in his second term with maybe more experience this time. People who maybe have more experience in the executive branch this time, certainly has been a breakneck speed, executive orders, statements, actions, a lot of stuff to cover.
Is that, you think, the rumblings you hear from talking to people around Mr. Trump in the White House, and is that maybe part of the tactic here, Aaron, a sort of carpet bombing, just throw everything out there to the point where the Democrats and even the pundits on down to the elected members of Congress, they're kind of caught in vapor lock on a lot of these things, aren't they, especially with these confirmation hearings still going on?
Yeah, confirmation hearings, in addition to executive orders or memos like the federal freeze that we saw last night that was rescinded or is kind of in limbo now, Democrats had scheduled a presser today in Congress, and that was kind of before the rescinding happened. So things are moving a mile a minute, but definitely the team around Trump has talked about, quote, flooding the zone. Certainly had a lot of priorities on their day one agenda, and they seem to be at least making the initial actions on a lot of that stuff in a week and some change.
Aaron Navarro joining us, CBS News digital reporter covering the White House, President Trump, and all these executive orders. And Aaron, just I don't know whether you saw this, just right when we were going on here, now he wants to put immigrants, the worst of the worst, as they're saying, at Gitmo, at Guantanamo. I mean, it's a thrill a minute, isn't it?
Yeah, he signed, he said he will sign an executive order to instruct the Defense Department and the Homeland Security to begin preparing a migrant facility at Guantanamo, certainly notable. It holds about 30,000 people. And he mentioned this at the bill signing for the Lake and Riley Act, which also empowers DHS. Officers to detain undocumented migrants. So certainly a lot, certainly following through on his campaign promise in regards to a mass deportation plan of sorts. And he mentioned in his remarks, too, that immigration, he believes, is one of the sole reasons that he was elected for a second term.
Probably. CBS News digital reporter Aaron Navarro. Aaron, thank you. Always good to chat with you. Stay safe, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Paul.
Appreciate it. Our buddy Aaron Navarro there covering the Trump White House for the digital platforms.